Good morning. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumry. The Juneau School Board will reconsider a school closure plan it approved last month to help address the district's budget deficit. As KTOO's Candy Anastas reports, the decision comes as important budget deadlines approach.
At the end of a more than four-hour meeting Thursday night, board member Amber Fromhurst proposed reconsidering the school closure model approved last month. The approved model put 7th and 8th grades at Thunder Mountain High School and high school grades at Juneau Douglas High School, Yada'at Kahle. Fromhurst says the board should take the time to consider putting 7th through 12th grade at both campuses. Several members of the public spoke in favor of that model at the meeting.
And there's ways that the rules allow for this. It's unpopular. It's hard. We're in a time crunch. But I think the community of Juneau deserves one more chance to see if there's something else that could work better for the entire community.
The board voted 4-3 to reconsider the closure plan during Tuesday's meeting. Fromhurst and members Will Muldoon, Brittany Choney Haywood, and David Noon voted yes, while board president Dee Dee Sorensen and members Elizabeth Sidden and Emil Mackey voted no. Sidden said district staff have already started planning around the approved model.
We made the hard decision. I know there are people not happy about it. There's going to be more people unhappy if we change direction right now.
She also questioned how Fromhurst could provide accompanying budget information for a different model on short notice.
If there's information that needs to be considered that will save CBJ money in the long run, that needs to be considered.
But you're going to have to provide that on Tuesday.
I understand that.
So you're asking us, your colleagues, to trust a budget you develop by yourself between now and Tuesday versus the budget developed by our superintendent and director of admin services?
If the amendment vote fails on Tuesday, the original model will still stand. Several important deadlines are quickly approaching. Governor Mike Dunleavy has until Thursday to sign or veto the legislature's education bill, which would give millions of state dollars to the Juneau School District. The school board plans to approve next year's budget by Friday so they can send it to the city well before their April 5th deadline. District Human Resources Director Lyle Melkerson urged board members to pass a budget as soon as possible. The district has to send out layoff notices to teachers by May 15th.
By that time, people will likely make decisions for their future. The hiring season for teachers in the state of Alaska begins in January. They'll be looking to move on. We could wait until May 15th. I would recommend not doing that because I would like to be able to staff our buildings in the fall.
The board has a work session and regular meeting scheduled for Tuesday. At the work session, they're set to discuss logistics of the board-approved reorganization plan, plus a, quote, final summary of non-board adopted models, unquote. The regular meeting agenda includes the adoption of next year's budget. In Juneau, I'm Katie Anastas.
And for this week's Tongass Voices from KTOO, perspectives from the homelands of the Akwan and beyond. Jocelyn Clark was born in Juneau, but moved to Asia after high school, where she began to study folk music. Now she's dedicated her life to playing the kayagum, a string instrument that's 1,500 years old. She came back to Juneau for the holidays and sat down with KTOO to talk about her musical pursuits.
My name is Jocelyn Clark. I grew up in Juneau and graduated from Juneau Douglas High School in 1987 and became an exchange student pretty immediately after that. I lived in Japan, then in China, then later in Korea, and I started studying instruments of those countries. Here I played with the symphony and other music organizations. I'm currently living in South Korea where I study an instrument called the kayagum. It's a 12-string silk string zither with movable bridges. I wanted to work really hard and, you know, show that I was a serious student and all that. And I finally got my first kayagum and I got a teacher and I was going to work hard. And after playing for about not more than 10 minutes, my fingers were already bleeding. So it turned out that you couldn't practice very hard even if you wanted to. You stop each string ringing as you're playing the next string, so you only hear one note at a time or one string at a time, and you stop the others vibrating. And that leaves you with just one voice. It's almost like singing. There's no harmony, just one voice at a time, and very, very rhythmic. The piece I'm working on, and I have been working on for 30 years, is over an hour long. In the beginning, I thought of it as a Westerner's, as a piece, you know, oh, I learned the notes, so I'm done. But it, you know, it's not about the notes. It's about all the subtleties and all the different tone colors and all the sort of nuances within each of those notes. Each note in a way is its own world that you have to explore. I'm a professor at Paejae University in Daejeon, South Korea at the moment. I am and have been very interested in the sort of ethnomusicology is sort of anthropology plus sound plus music. For me, living in Korea is very interesting, you know, to think about music, but also to think about Korea's colonial past and its pre-colonial past in terms of Japanese occupation really occurs at the same time as Alaska's colonial past starts. You know, the arrival of missionaries in Korea happens at the same time that arrival of missionaries in Alaska occurs. Missionaries became connected to, you know, the arrival of Western, of course, Western ways, just as it was here. And the consequences for Korean music are, in a way, similar to consequences for music and dance here. So it took me some time to understand how narrow my views were, having grown up here, and to learn how other cultures and instruments and sound systems work with the background in my own ear of, you know, a tempered classical scale and reading music off a sheet or something like that. What I'm learning now is an oral tradition that's orally transmitted through memorization and uses different notes, different, we don't even think of them as scales, but different modes than Western music. And it's been really quite a journey in terms of listening and trying to understand different aesthetics, different timbres, different rhythms, different... everything's different. Everything's different.
That was Jocelyn Clark, who studies and plays a traditional Korean folk instrument for this week's Tongass Voices. And KCAW's Catherine Rose is on assignment in Japan this week, where she's looking into the industry and the culture of herring. Rose's first stop was the Toyosu Fish Market in Tokyo, the Grand Central Station of Asian seafood.
This is Catherine Rose, and you are hearing the sounds of Toyosu Market around me. This is the largest wholesale fish market in Japan, and it's in Tokyo. You may have heard of it before. It's where a famous tuna auction happens every morning around 5 a.m. It's a little bit later than 5 right now. It's around 6:30 a.m., and I'm walking through a maze of fish stalls. Each one of these is a different business, and this is where a sushi chef might come to buy their fish for the day at the best price. And I'm telling you, the diversity of seafood here is staggering. Everyday fresh fish from Japan and from all over the world arrive here. This is the first stop for that fish on its path to the consumer. I'm here with Dr. Shingo Hamada. He's an anthropologist and a herring researcher from Japan, and he's showing me right now where we can find the herring eggs, and we've actually found some sacro from North America.
What's this?
That's the salted kazunoko from United States or Canada.
Uh-huh.
But this is a product of China. So yeah. The Japanese, you know, Japanese law requires, you know, to label the product origin. In this case, it's China. So they just mentioned the final stop for the processing location, so it's China.
Toyosu Market is our first stop in Tokyo, and next we are going to Tsukiji Outer Market to see if we can find some herring eggs to eat.
Was KCAW's Catherine Rose reporting from the Toyosu Fish Market in Tokyo. Rose will be sharing more stories from her travels over the next week. Her trip is a project of KCAW and the Alaska Center for Excellence in Journalism. And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 43 degrees and overcast this afternoon. And there's a rain and snow mix likely for tomorrow and Wednesday. By Thursday, that will turn into heavy rain, with temperatures that are rising. You're listening to KTOO.